Welcome to One Christian Church. We're so glad you're listening in. It's our prayer that the Word of God will both challenge and inspire you as you listen.
Good morning, church. How are we today? What an unusual way to meet on air. Let's all come together. If you're in your lounge rooms right now, if you're watching, let me just encourage you just to treat this like a Sunday service. If you need to go get a cup of coffee, go get one quickly, sit down, and let's just hang out together for this short time. And if you got your Bibles with me, we're going to say our declaration. Are you ready? I'm free. One, two, three. I believe my Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. I believe what it says about God. I believe what it says about me. I believe what it says about my past, my present, and my future. And I believe it is the highest authority in my life. And I believe God will use it to speak to us and me today. Amen. Thank you for being a part of that. Let's get straight into it. We've only got half an hour, I believe. We may have more. If I keep you longer than that, you can send your prayer request to me and I'll forgive you. How's that sound? What we're going to be talking about today is fear and love. And I want to start with a passage of Scripture because it's such important. Scripture is so important to us in this time. You know, it's hearing from God. You know, I want to hear what God has to say about the situation. I don't so much want to hear about what man is saying, even though that's good and we need to be informative. And by no means I'm saying, you know, shut yourself off. But what I'm saying is I want to hear the counsel of God. I want to hear what God is doing right now in the earth. So let me just open up with John, 1 John 4. Verses 18 and 19 says this: love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other, or he first loved us before we loved him. You know, that's a wonderful piece of scripture, and I just want to just recap our last 6 months of church history, you know, known as one Christian church in Fremantle, you know, like two churches coming together. You know, what an extraordinary event, you know, two churches coming together and able to function and bring two people together to make one perfect person in Christ. But there's been a lot of change in that 6 months, and some of us are still working through that change. Some of us are still struggling with changes in that area. And some of us are just sort of maybe even coming into a place where we're accepting the changes. So we're all at different places. But, you know, what's going on right now in Australia and right across the globe? Now, these are changes that we have no control over. I feel like God's saying, you think you're in control? Well, let me tell you, I'm in control. People are not in control. God is in control. But this is extraordinary times that we live in. Extraordinary in the sense that, you know, we've been reduced to house churches. We've been reduced to small numbers. We've been reduced to restrictions that here in Australia, you know, were never imagined of or thought about. And here we are doing a live telecast today, you know, the fruit of what's going on in our society right now. But this change has happened so quickly. You know, at least the church is coming together. We had 6 or 7 months and we've been sort of slowly progressing into that change and we're still getting a hold of it. But this change that's happened right now has just been imposed on us. We feel like we're in a Nazi war camp, if I could use that expression. And it's difficult. It's difficult times. It's a difficult place to be in right now. And I just want to say that worry and fear has not only affected the secular world, but it's affected us. We, Christians, born-again believers, you know, I'm not saying everybody, but I say many people that I've been speaking to over the weeks, you know, like there's a fear that's gripping them. And it's a fear that not only grips, but it paralyzes. It paralyzes us and it stops us from doing what we know we should be doing. It stops us from carrying out, you know, the oracles of God. It stops us from evangelizing, speaking, bringing God's presence into situation, praying and all those other things that are good, that accompany salvation. And, I just want to say this, just briefly. Has fear gripped your heart with what's going on right now? And what are you most afraid of? Fear and love. Now, you might not like this, but fear and love cannot coexist together. I know we have natural fears and, you know, natural things that stop us from, you know, doing silly things maybe. You know, like I remember an experience that I had up at down in Albany. We were at the blowholes there, and it was windy. It was gusting wind, and I was right on the edge of this crevice, you know, and this big gush of wind come up, and it freaked the living daylights out of me. And it scared me, and I took a step back, and I go, wow, that's dangerous. And it was dangerous. But I had this warning system in me that stopped me from getting too close where I could harm myself. Now, that's a good fear. That's a God inbuilt fear in my life. And I'm not talking about that fear. I'm talking about a fear that paralyzes and cripples us. And how are we going to work through it? How are we going to navigate through this? How are we going to encourage one another? How are we going to build the body up in this time? And, you know, we're losing the faith, the hands-on connection that we have. And to be here just filming this message today is an indication of what's going on right around us. And I feel kind of strange, you know, talking to a camera and you watching me miles away. And I'm missing the fellowship. I'm missing your interaction. I love being around you. I love being around people. I love being around God's people. I love gathering together in corporate worship times. And I love praying together. And I love talking about God together. I love all those things. I appreciate those things. And we need to continue to appreciate those things. We need to hang on to those values. Now, we may not do it as we've been doing it, but I want to encourage you to get on board with what's going on right now. This is the most important time, this winter season that we are entering in, to stay connected. I want to encourage you to stay connected. I've encouraged our link leaders to reach out, to encourage you, to build you up, to send you regular texts, to send you regular scriptures, and to be connecting with them and one another and praying for one another during this time. And we're going to continue to do that. We're not going to abandon the body. We're not going to abandon the flock. We're going to walk through this journey together. And I want you to be aware of that. And I want you to get on board with what we're trying to do during this time and see what God is doing also in this hour that we're living in. Now, we know that these things are coming on the earth. I mean, the Lord's been preparing us for years. I know He's been preparing me, you know, for such a time as this. And we've been praying for years. Lord, do something. You know, it just seems like in our culture, in Australia, things are so hard. But I just want to encourage you, things are not as hard as what we think they are. They are actually loosing right now, even as I speak about what God is doing in this place right now and in this city and in this nation of Australia and across all the nations of the world. So we're talking about fear cannot co-inhabit with love. And I'll tell you why it can't inhabit, because fear takes away from us what God is actually doing in the now. See, God is a God of the now. God does in the now to bring forward His purposes in the future. And now is where God is, in the now. Now, we might say, well, why did God allow this? And I would say to that, well, God didn't allow nothing. But God didn't create the virus, or God didn't create what's going on in that planet right now. But God uses it to perfect His saints. And not only to perfect His saints, He uses it to awaken His saints. He uses it to inspire His saints. He uses it to draw His saints closer to Him. And He uses it to reach the lost. And if there's one thing we're certain of is history. We can look back in history. We all got hindsight. And I want to take you back to a time in the 1500s. Martin Luther's time, as a matter of fact. You know, there was what we called the bubonic plague in that time. And 50 to 70 million people lost their lives during that time. But something happened. See, something happens that God uses when these things hit humanity. And God, in His grace and in His mercy, He reaches down and He comes to our level and He begins to rescue people. And people that are broken, people that are weak, people that are unable. And we're not able to rescue ourselves. God has to intervene. God reveals Himself in the hearts of men and women. But I want to just continue on this story just briefly. When we look at history, when we have the blessing of hindsight and we look back, we see that out of disaster that hits at a global, in a global context, God always somehow manages to allow Christianity to explode. Now, I can't tell you how, it just happens, you know, like, and we have the history to prove it, you know, the bionic plague, thousands, and other numerous things that happen on our planet. And God is causing now, or allowing this plague to hit on a global scale, and He's calling His church. He's calling His church into intimacy with Him. I don't believe that we can reach this planet without being intimate with our God. We cannot be intimate with others. We cannot care and love others if we don't have that intimacy with God. And there's a challenge going out right now, and the challenge is intimacy with God, heart to heart with God. I've been speaking about heart to heart messages for years, and I believe even now it's more critical than ever in the past 3 or 4 years of my ministry. Let me just give you something here that Martin Luther quoted. Now, he's in Wittenberg. It's in a city in Germany that was his hometown. There's people dying all around, and all the Christians around him are saying, Martin, you need to flee. You need to get out of here. You're important. You're a theologian. You know, like, everybody's dying, and we need you to keep the boat steady. You know, and he says this famous quote. Well, I reckon it's famous because, I mean, he said a lot of things that aren't that good, but this one's pretty good. And he says here, and I've just minimized it. I took a bit out of the quote, but I just got the gist of it. And it says, we were referring to Christians, says, we will die at our post. The plague does not dissolve our duties. It turns them to crosses on which we must be prepared to die. I mean, what he's saying is that's our cross. And so what happened in Luther's days, he turned his home into a hospital. He actually mixed with the sick. He mixed with those that had the plague. Even though it was deadly, it took men and women out in 7 days. In 7 days, they were from healthy to dead. And he opens his home up for a hospital, and he begins to minister to Christians and non-Christians. Now, we don't know the outcome of that, but we do know when we look back in history, because there's an explosion of Christianity that goes right across the globe. And it's the little things that we do, even now, even this coming together, looking at me on a screen today, it seems unusual, it seems weird. It seems weird me preaching to you on a screen. And I know it's the way of the future, but it's something that I'm going to find extremely hard to get used to. But I want to encourage you, just persevere with us, and we will get through this together. I want to just read a psalm, just quickly. Psalm 5, 11 and 12. I love this psalm. I love all the psalms. I love all the Word of God. But, you know, like, when you find something fresh, you just develop a new joy for it, a new heart for it. And it says this: but let all who take refuge in you, Lord, rejoice. Are we rejoicing today? I'm not talking about rejoicing about the bad things. I'm talking about rejoicing who you are in Christ. Saved, born again, repented, washed, purified, made holy by the blood of Christ. Rejoice in that. Let them sing joyful praises forever. Spread your protection over them, that all who love your name may be filled with joy. For you bless the godly, O Lord, and you surround them with your shield of love. You know, this is what we need to be feeding ourselves on right now. Saturating ourselves with truth and not news. Unfortunately, I know for a fact, even in my own home, I have to reduce it because everyone wants to watch the news. And I'm saying, no, stop it. And we're having to restrict it now. And you know, my advice to my wife and my kids and those in the home, I say, look, we watch the news in the evening. We choose a news time, whether it be 6 o'clock or 6:37, whatever hour suits you. And we just see what the Prime Minister is addressing the nation about. And we get that information because we want the information. We need the information because we want to obey the laws of the land. There's lots of laws that are being implemented right now. They haven't become legal, but they probably will be with ramifications for us. So we want to be obedient to the authorities that God has placed around us, our government. And so we limit the intake. Imagine, you know, living all day in front of the telly, or we don't have to be in front of the telly. We could have our phones open, or we can have the radio on, and all we're hearing is coronavirus, 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 coronavirus. You know, we're hearing, and we're just hearing repetitiveness about the same thing, really. And most of those people don't know what they're talking about. Everyone's making assumptions, you know, because we don't really know much about this thing. We know it kills people. We know it's contagious. We know that. We've been told that. So we're doing all the sanitizing thing that we need to, and that's great. But how much of that are we imputing into ourselves? It's like the power. It becomes like the power of suggestion. And if we continue to sit under that authority, now these are voices. We're talking about voices, whether they come by the airways or the TV or through the computer, through the phone. They're voices that are infiltrating our spirit, infiltrating our minds. And enough for that will discourage you. You know, they say, scientifically proven, for every negative thing that gets spoken to us, we need at least 5 or 7 positive just to combat that one negative thing. How many negative things do we hear in a day? How many positives do we need? And I'm not just talking about positive, oh, you're a great, you're this, you're that. The Word of God confirms who we are in Christ. You know, we get our substance from God. We get our substance. And it's not just the Word. It's being in relationship with God through the Word. I just can't encourage it enough. I can't encourage you to have a relationship with the Lord. I can't encourage you enough to draw close to Him. And not just now because it's a time of need and trouble. Maybe this is the time that's causing you to draw near, but make it part of your DNA. Make it part of your life. You know, be a son and a daughter of God. Be a son in a sense where you're able to go and talk to Dad about everything. Why wouldn't you want to talk to your dad about everything? Now, I know that's a hot topic and it's difficult, and, you know, we all haven't had great examples of dads, but we've got a Heavenly Father. When we look at the Godhead and we see our Heavenly Father, you know, that sent His Son into a sin-riddled, demon-infested planet. Why? You know, to rescue people that God cares about so much. So God cares about us so much. He sends Jesus, His Son, into this planet. And the only way that He could redeem us, the only way He could save us, the only way He could rescue us was to pay blood for sin. And He endures the torture and the pain of the cross and the separation from God, you know, taking on all that upon Himself. And He declares, you know, that if we believe that, if we believe that He's the Son of God, if we turn away from our sin, you know, the things that separate us from God, if we turn away from that and look to Him and confess before Him that we need Him, we're dirty and we're rotten and we're sinners, and we need to be cleansed by that purifying, that pure blood of Jesus Christ, metaphorically speaking, that washes over us and presents us holy before the Father. And now we have this privilege that we can come into the Father's presence, into His very throne room through the blood of Jesus. And I love what it says there in Hebrews about that. It says, with boldness, come into the throne of God with boldness so that you can present your request and receive the very thing you have need of in your time of trouble. Now that could mean lots of things for lots of people. I have my troubles, you have your troubles. We have our struggles, you have your struggles. But we all have the Holy Spirit living in us as born-again believers. And my encouragement is, you know, let's see what God is doing. Saturate yourself with truth. Too much media will kill truth. So really my whole message today is to somehow inspire us that not to get into a cocoon of fear. And, you know, like, it's horrible. You think about it. And I know I'm sort of telling a few stories, and please bear with me. I went to the shop, it was yesterday, and Naomi sent me there to get some toys for Danny so he could have something to do during the day because he's going to be home most of the time. You know, so I got him a ball set and a, you know, an outdoor tennis and soccer thing where he just kicks it. It's like a pole that goes in the ground. But, you know, like, I could feel the atmosphere in that place, in that shopping centre. It was just a little shopping centre. There wasn't that many people around. But the atmosphere in there, you could sense it in your spirit that, you know, there was just a fear around the place. Horrible thing, trying to attach itself to us. And you know, like we need to stand up against that. We're not to take those things on board. I want to encourage us. We can't just grit our teeth and resist that. We've got to come into a presence. We've got to come into the presence of God. We need to sit with God. We need to become sons and daughters of God, not just by name or by title, but by relationship. So my encouragement during this time, so that we can see what God is doing in the earth. I know what God is doing in the earth right now. He's awakening the church. He's awakening us. We are the church. He's awakening this planet. He's declaring to this planet, hey, I'm in control. Man is not in control. I control things. I determine things. I use disasters to bring people to life. And we need to get a hold of what God is doing. And it's not woe is me. It's God. Awesome. You know, like, yes, there's going to be devastation. And yes, and may I just say, sort of going a little bit off my notes here, and I apologize for that in a sense, but, you know, we have to be ready, because when this passes, and we know there's going to be something else. We know the Lord promised that. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble, 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 trouble. But do not be afraid, because I have overcome. What does that mean? That means that I can overcome too, because He overcame. But the overcoming happens in the relationship side of God. It just doesn't happen because you say it or you think it or you dream it. It happens because we draw near to God and we actually begin to learn to know God. How He thinks, the way He's described Himself in his Word, you know, the way His compassion, His love, His mercy, His grace, you know, His peace. How many would like peace right now? Well, I would love peace. Do you have peace? Would you like peace? So my challenge, you know, in all this is yes, have a listen to the media, absolutely. You know, be aware what's going on. Hear the Prime Minister's instructions of what we need to do as a community and as a nation. But keep your eyes on Jesus. Okay? Let's keep our eyes on the Lord. Let's stay focused on Him. Let's see how He's working in people's lives. And let's tap into that. You know, let's be God's hands. Let's be His arms. Let's be His feet. Let's be His mouth. And if necessary, let's be His presence in a situation. And let's see what God does with that as we humble ourselves and allow Him to raise us up however He chooses to. Let me just finish with another passage of Scripture here today. And, you know, just as we progress over the next few weeks, meeting like this for a while, I'll just keep adding. I am planning on doing a little series. I'll open it up next week. But right now, let's just look at this scripture, Philippians. This is a beautiful scripture, Philippians 4. And I love the way Paul just opens up, rejoice in the Lord. And what does he say? He says, rejoice in the Lord. And what's his immediate remark after? And again, just in case you didn't hear it the first time, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say to you, rejoice. What are we rejoicing in? Rejoicing in that, you know, God is for us. He's not against us. God is great and merciful and kind, compassionate. Philippians 4, verse 4, always be full of joy in the Lord. And I say it again, always be full of joy. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Oh, I love that, eh? Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Keep your eyes on Jesus, eh? He's coming. Now, I'm not giving any dates on when He's coming. I would be silly to even consider anything like that. When He comes, when He's ready, and when He knows when to come. He knows He's got that under control. But let's be ready. Let's keep our eyes on that. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Look, there's a wonderful promise there. That's calling us into a relationship with God. Talk to God. Be open with Him. If you've got fears, express them to Him. He's okay with that. You know, he wants to help you walk through them. He wants to help you get free of that. He wants you to be totally confident in him, totally trusting in him. You know, that's the God we have. That's the Heavenly Father we have. And I just thank the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank the Father for his gospel and that the Son has given it to the Holy Spirit to empower our lives and to walk as sons and daughters of God in this earth. I want to thank you today. I just want to bless you as a congregation. I just want to ask the Lord's blessing on your life. May the Lord bless you. May he cause his light to shine upon you. May he be gracious and merciful in all we do. May he uphold us in this time. May he encourage us. May he build us up. May he walk with us. And may we be open towards him, living out of the reality of our salvation, living out of the reality of kids of the kingdom. God bless you. It'll be great to be with you again next week. I'm hoping to talk to many of you during the week. So be encouraged and keep in contact. God bless you. Thank you.
For more messages or information, you can contact us through our website at www.onechristianchurch.com.au. We would love to hear from you. Hope to see you this Sunday at One Christian Church. From a deep but